Today on this, the 19th Sunday of Ordinary Times, we are called to consider our readings as they speak to faith. Just what is faith? What does the Catholic Church say as to faith, and how does it work within the Catholic doctrine for the salvation of one's soul? What do today's scriptures here in our Mass bring to us in terms of revealing and defining faith? We hear the terms, "I have faith in you," and "keep the faith," as well as "faithful servant," and these are all used referencing different meanings associated with the term faith. But really, how important is faith to us and our God? As I prepared today for the homily, I began with a rather simple approach in that I began my investigation by seeing what our society had to say about faith. I went to Webster's Dictionary for a definition. Webster's first definition was fidelity to one's duty or promises. And this definition was followed by a complete belief and trust in and loyalty to God. And the third one was belief in that for which one has no proof. So if we look at Webster's as a reflection of today's society and what we actually believe, then we define faith as being steadfast in completion of our duty as we trust in God with a complete belief. And this is a belief for which we have no basis for proof. How can this be? How can we say that we believe wholeheartedly without any direct proof? It is at this point that I think the saints and martyrs that we celebrate daily within our church and how they willingly and without hesitation sacrificed when faced with the option of turning away from Jesus and God. God, when He created us, put in our nature a firm resolve to live and to continue on. Death is not something we as humans want to go through. This ultimate sacrifice we often view as a waste when something we cannot reason or fathom moves us to take such a stand. How could they relish such a circumstance? What did they know that I do not? Would I come to meet that end with complete loyalty and bravery to our Lord? Did I meet this definition of love that God has put forward? Our definition from Webster's leaves us a little short in terms of what faith is. So here's where our church comes to our aid in providing some clarity to our definition of faith. The Catechism defines faith as both a gift of God and a human act by which the believer gives personal adherence to God, who invites his response, and freely assents to the whole truth which God has revealed. Faith is both a theological virtue given to us by God as grace and an obligation that flows from the first commandment of God. So God sends the Holy Spirit coming from Jesus and the Father to bring us faith and knowledge of God through the form of grace by the Holy Spirit. This revelation may come to us at inopportune times, such as in the death of a loved one, or a moment of joy, or the finding out of something. But it is, in essence, the revelation of God's existence and truth. This leads to openness on our part, to hope in actually coming to be with God. This is natural because it is within our essence as humans and within our creation when God made us. This is our personal joy, our beatitude, our need, a longing to be with our God. This experience allows us to come to the ultimate fulfillment of our nature, and that is love and charity. We give to God and others as a result of the reception of God's grace. We are fed by this love, and as a result, seek more of God and the Holy Spirit. The theological virtues of faith, hope, and love provided by the Spirit through the Father and Jesus the Son bring us to heaven and ultimately to our Creator. We find ourselves following this pattern over and over and ultimately coming to become more perfect, all through God's graces. What joy we find in the revelation of God. Now, after acquiring some fundamental knowledge here about actually what faith is, we come back to our scripture readings and we begin to take apart wisdom. Now, we have some idea of what faith is and how it works. Here in our first reading are the Israelites waiting with the blood of the Lamb on their doorways as the angel of death passes over them. They have suffered persecution and pain for their belief in God and their way of life. Their perseverance in punishment has been rewarded with the presence of Moses, and he has come to lead them to freedom. This freedom is knowledge and union with their God as they are allowed to leave Egypt. But Pharaoh is stubborn of heart and unrelenting in his defiance of our God. Thus, there is terrible turmoil to be endured to allow for the Israelites to come back to their God. But the togetherness of the Israelites and their bravery provides for their delivery. Their communion, being together in facing the angel of death, is a testament to their faith. This communion of the faithful on the night in which the Lord came to free them provided for the beginning of the divine institution. The holy children of God offering sacrifice in real time and in union is the divine institution. You, the people of God, are the holy institution today and are the Roman Catholic Church. The Catholic Church was founded indeed by our Lord Jesus Christ. Loyalty to the Israelites' beliefs and to their God provided for their own deliverance. Loyalty to our divine institution and Jesus will provide for our delivery. In our second reading, Paul speaks of faith being the realization of that which is hoped for. That which is hoped for is to come to be with God himself and to see God for all eternity. Thus, faith is the first step in the calling to the children of God to come back to our home in heaven with our God. This is evidenced when Paul speaks of our calling to be with him who created us. He speaks of Abraham as an example of the ancients who loved and believed in our God. Abraham's reward is great as God comes to be with them, and he and his family treat the Lord with kindness and love. Finally, Jesus, when he refers to faith here in the Gospel of Luke, he speaks to the direction of our hearts. Jesus says that where our treasure is where our hearts will be located and focused. Our treasure daily here on earth is our children, our work, our love for spouse, our love for our parents, and to ultimately provide them all with justice and what they need to come to God. Jesus said that to ultimately provide for them, we must focus continually on our God and our divine institution, the church. The culmination of our efforts is where our hearts are, and that should be toward our God. This will translate into our ultimate salvation. But here in Luke, Jesus warns to be vigilant, for with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the revelation of our faith, and with it our hope, comes great responsibility, because those who have been given the answer must continue to serve the Lord and the children of God, his divine institution. We must not become enamored with our life here on earth and earthly goods, but continue to look towards our Master when he comes to bring us to everlasting salvation. Our treasure is not here, but is with the joy of God and his eternal presence. This truly is the message coming from the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Those theological gifts of faith, hope, and love. Continue to strive for God, and he will come to us and be with us, but we must be ready and keep him in our sights. Eternity is here for us to gain, and we are given the answer. Do not forsake our God and this opportunity for eternal joy. Be steadfast and alert while doing God's work while the Lord Jesus is away. For he will come again, and we will be able to say, Lord, I have worked for you. I have loved for you. I am your faithful servant. Praise to him, Lord Jesus Christ, King of power and glory. Amen. Hallelujah.